Restaurant Unstoppable, episode 1072, with Damian Otero and Miguel Hernandez.
Business is tough, man. But it doesn't have to be that way. All you have to do is, I believe, is get everybody focused on one goal and one task at hand, and just be consistent and be intentional with what it is that you're doing. You know, some days are easier than others, but you know, when everybody sees the end goal, you're gonna either get there faster, or I mean, you're gonna have fun on the way over there.
Are you ready for it factors, success stories, failures, and bombs of restaurant industry knowledge? Then join Eric Cacciatore and today's incredible guest as they share what it takes to become unstoppable.
This episode is brought to you by Mies. With Mies, you can standardize your culinary IP and stay in sync, giving the culinary team the ability to both create recipes and distribute them from the same platform. You can train your team quickly and maintain dish consistency by turning your recipes into interactive training material, and you can get laser-accurate food costs because Mies allows you to calculate the yield of ingredients with prep loss included. Create a free account by visiting getmeez.com/unstoppable. That's getmeez.com/unstoppable. And as a listener of Restaurant Unstoppable, you can get 25 recipes uploaded to your Meez account for free. Sign up today and learn more at getmeez.com/unstoppable. This episode made possible by Restaurant Technologies, Inc. RTI's Total Oil Management automates your entire cooking oil process. With Total Oil Management, you get dependable fresh bulk cooking oil delivery, filtration plus oil usage monitoring and reporting, easy oil disposal, use cooking oil pickup and recycling, and say goodbye to messy, dangerous restaurant rendering tanks. Yuck. RTI's end-to-end cooking oil system helps you manage your used cooking oil disposal, storage, collection, and recycling conveniently, safely, and cleanly with no upfront cost. Restaurant Technologies, Inc. is always on, so you don't have to be. To learn more, head to RTI-Inc.com and let them know Restaurant Unstoppable Podcast sent you their way. This podcast was made possible by Restaurant Systems Pro, and we need to let you know that every second and fourth Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, CEO of Restaurant Systems Pro, Fred Langley, will be going live, where he'll cover what you need to know about running a profitable restaurant from soup to nuts. This live event will reveal the steps to manage the service and financial goals for your restaurant's productivity. To learn more, head to go.restaurantsystemspro.com. pro.net/restaurantunstoppable. This episode brought to you by owner.com. owner.com is the leading all-in-one platform for restaurant marketing. owner.com powers everything from SEO optimized websites, direct online ordering, automated email and text marketing, built-in loyalty programs, zero commission delivery, and branded mobile apps for your restaurant that's integrated right into your POS. With owner.com, there's no contract, no hidden fees, and nothing to lose. Join thousands of restaurant owners using owner.com to grow direct online sales, save thousands in third-party fees, and simplify their online ordering presence all in one. Book a free demo today at owner.com/unstoppable and see why owner.com is the number one rated restaurant marketing software. With excitement, allow me to introduce to you today's guests, CEO and COO, Damian Otero and Miguel Hernandez. My men, are you feeling unstoppable today?
Oh, yeah, like always.
Yeah, so I know you two are unstoppable. You have to answer the question, Damian. Go for it. Are you feeling unstoppable?
I'm feeling unstoppable.
Oh, yeah, you are. Always. So I was actually here a year and a half ago. You guys were at two locations. That was episode 945. You have since scaled to eight locations. How many people did you have employed at two locations?
As of right now, roughly about 350.
And how about a year and a half ago?
Well, a year and a half ago, when we did our episode 945, we did it in our third location that we were about to open. Because we were under construction, right, if you remember.
Yes, I do.
At that time, 2022, I think we did it that year, about $6 million in revenue. This year, we are projecting 32 to 35 in revenue, depending on how soon we opened our next two locations. We're under construction. And I remember in that episode that we said in the past year, we have grown 1,000%. ever since the acquisition of Real Tacos. So that was a 1,000% growth as soon as we started and did the first episode. And I was just running the numbers. I think now we had another 400%+ growth.
That's wild.
It has been insane. It has been crazy. It's just an amazing learning experience, you know, trying to run a company that has so much growth.
Yeah. And I'm stoked to be back here. And this is really a glimpse of like what I hope to do in the future. Being able to not just get new people on the show, but develop existing relationships and picking up the story where we left off and going even deeper, getting even more granular. And I know you guys are cool about talking about numbers, which I'm really excited about. So I can't wait to dive into that. And we're also going to bring Miguel into the story too, and to get your perspective and what it's been like, and setting you up to share a success quote or a mantra, Miguel, because the last time Damien launched us off. So what do you have for us?
Man, my success mantra is something that I share very passionately with Damien. Our philosophy behind the business is, you know, create an opportunity big enough for everybody to get a piece of the action.
Ooh, dive into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a business is tough, man. I mean, but it doesn't have to be that way. All you have to do is, I believe, is get everybody focused on one goal and one task at hand, and just be consistent and be intentional with what it is that you're doing. You know, some days are easier than others, but you know, when everybody sees the end goal, you're going to either get there faster or, I mean, you're going to have fun on the way over there.
Yeah. Do you want to chime in?
Yeah. Just creating super big opportunity where other people's dreams can be a part of it as well. And having a vision.
Yeah. And I hope we get to dive into that today, because I know, you know, a big part of what you guys do is you give people the opportunity to buy equity in new restaurants that are opening.
Yes.
We kind of scratched the surface on that last time. So I'm hoping that we kind of, you know, go deeper into that. But where does it make sense to start picking up the story where we left off? I think going back a year and a half.
We opened that third one a couple of weeks after our interview. We realized we were becoming a brand. Once we did that, once we opened that third location, because people were walking in since day one.
Yeah.
Then after that, we said, okay, that is the game plan. Taking acquisitions of second gen, which we can talk about real estate and acquiring locations.
Yeah, that's on my list of things to talk about for sure.
The craziest one, our location number 6, we bought it for $600,000 on Instagram. So that was the crazy, through Instagram. That was the craziest one.
Was it like a PayPal deal?
Almost. That's what it seemed
Venmo
like.
Venmo me?
And yeah, we realized, oh my God, it's becoming a brand. So we started bringing, you know, more legit people to work with us, and people that want to grow. We started getting partnerships and so on. And I'm very open about the numbers, because this is a growing experience for us. And I think a lot of other restaurant entrepreneurs can learn from some things that we're doing in the good side, the bad side, our mistakes and so on. We are a high growth company. We are still very broke. We have no money, but we have no debt. So we're trying to grow day by day, making it happen.
Putting it right back into assets.
Yeah, all of it. There's nothing left.
What is your percent profit? Is it zero?
Well, it depends how you look at it. No, store level numbers. We have some stores in the 35s at store level, some other stores in the 20s. So,
I mean, even that low side is a good number.
The business is very, very healthy. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're looking, you said second generation locations.
The best. For us, the best.
So meaning it was a brand, somebody went in there and it didn't work out, and you're buying the assets. Do you buy or rent? Like, what's going on there?
No, we just rent. Okay. It's very, very hard to find a deal where you can buy the real estate, because now you're playing the real estate game plus the restaurant game. For those two to mesh and have a perfect in the middle, it'll be very hard. There is a couple of different ways of finding real estate for restaurants, and what we do is second gen. One of them is finding someone who's selling a distressed business. It could be a sushi place, breakfast place, whatever place, and you convert it into your own concept, right? In the state of Georgia right now, that's going to cost you anywhere from 100 to 350K to find something a little bit distressed that you can come in and, you know, but you're going to have to spend some money. For example, we're building one in Buckhead right now, and that one is about 2,400 square feet. And that one in construction alone, we have done, the key money was 200. In construction alone, we are already at 450. It's probably going to be like 550 just in construction. But we're doing it so quick. Whereas if you're doing a new build from zero, it's going to take you about 18 months, which we're doing right now, and it's terrible and it sucks. So that's one way of doing it, finding old locations that are for sale. The good and the bad is you do get an old lease, which you take over the old lease. So you do have way cheaper terms because leases before 2020 right. were a lot cheaper.
Good point.
Yeah. Sometimes half off. The bad is that you do get terms that the last owner negotiated that maybe you don't want.
Yeah, maybe they weren't really good at negotiating terms.
Yeah, maybe they had percentage rent or something. You never know. And then the other way of doing it is you find very nice locations that you really want. Wow, this is a perfect corner unit in little downtown, and I love it. And it's a newer one. And you literally stalk the owner until you find him and ask him if they want to sell. And both options are cheaper than doing a brand new build.
What are some clues that they might want to sell? Like, are you, like, if it's a clear, like, say, like, Del Bar was on a corner of a restaurant, you're not going to approach Faris Hargar because you know he's not going anywhere.
No, you just like, look at their Google and you're like, well, they're getting one review every 4 hours. Okay. That means they're very
packed. So you're looking for, like, signs of distress.
Yes, but sometimes you find they're not for sale. Half of the deals we have done, the companies were not for sale. We just Googled the owner and approached them, and they agreed to sell.
Yeah, you never know. Maybe they're thinking about it. If you can beat them to the punch, you know, if they've lost the romance, if they're not into it anymore, and if you can just put it out there, if you can manifest the reality you're looking for by just, you know, giving a little nudge.
Yes. Sometimes I stalk the owners where I find the name of the company, the website, then I find their name and I email their name at the website in different variations.
I do that all the time.
Yes.
When I'm, it's usually their first name followed by their domain.com almost like 80% of the time.
For us, it's been much easier than building from scratch, which, you know, it can take a year or 18 months and it's a big headache.
So if your second location, you're opening your third location in November of 2022.
We've done one every 3 months, every 4 months.
Okay. What has been like the biggest struggle for you in the past year and a half opening restaurants?
Well, the biggest struggle has been, I don't think it's very complicated to the restaurant business. If you think about it, it's hard, but it's simple. People want good service, good food, good drinks, a vibe. So you know what the customer wants. So it's not super complicated. I don't think it's super complicated to run a restaurant company either. What makes it very hard is growth. Like when you're growing so quick, nothing is stable.
Right.
Day by day. And people are moving from one location to another location and training and this.
Well, that's the biggest thing that gets people in trouble is they just want, they catch a little bit of a foothold, right? They get some traction. They're like, oh, we got to go while the going's good, right?
Yeah.
And then they go out of control because they get too aggressive. How have you been able to combat that?
Not being in debt.
Okay.
So
cash flow determines your growth.
Yes. So all the mistakes that we make, we still make them with our own cash so we can sleep at night.
Yeah.
So, and we make mistakes every single day.
So I like to say cash flow and people determine growth. Have you had run into an issue where you're growing too fast, where you don't have people to fill those roles?
Yes. One day we have a little bit extra money, like a few extra bucks. So we're like, oh, let's do something. And the day after, we don't have enough people. So it's finding that perfect balance. Yeah.
What is your mission statement?
Well, with my mission statement?
Do you have like a mission, like a purpose, a mission statement, core values, things like this?
Creating opportunities is it's the main one.
I mean, that's what I thought it was, but I never asked specifically, what is your mission statement? What is your purpose? You know, and it's clear to me that that's what it is.
Well, first of all, everybody that we work with, we love the industry. We are obsessed with our brand, with the industry. We work 7 days a week. And we always say we want to be rich as fuck with our best friends.
Yeah.
And we get to do it in something that we are obsessed with and something that we love. Like there's nothing we want to do other than this. We don't, nothing is more fun than waking up and going and working in the Real Tacos project. So I don't know.
I love that. Well, something that came out a couple times the first time we spoke is that you're not like you are creating opportunity for a lot of second generation Latino individuals. And I think that that is a market that doesn't have as much opportunity as others, right? And when I think when you can create, this is why I say the restaurant industry has the ability to change the world. Because if you, if we can start injecting these values, sharing your values, and if more operators across the country can start making it about others and creating opportunity for others, then you're lifting up these people and they're turning around and they're, and it ripples out. And if every restaurant across the, like what other industry has as much influence as a restaurant where like there were in all these different communities, we have the ability to lift up these communities and to provide opportunity for people. And like when you lift up a person, they lift up their community. And you guys are doing that. It's so obvious. And I just want to like bring a ton of attention to it.
We're trying 100%. Yeah. We have a partnership structure where there's five different partners per location. And now we have over 18 partners. And once we do Buckhead, we're going to have more. As we keep adding locations and we pay distributions of those profits every single month. So there's a lot of money being paid out every single month, and it's very motivating for ourselves and for the team.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what you said, but it was something along the lines that we want to create a legacy for second generation individuals or something like that.
Probably, yeah.
And I think that's beautiful. Like that is like the mindset to have, you know? I mean, I'm only third generation Italian, and like our people had to go through the same thing like 100 years ago, you know? And you got to like get this like generational wealth going, and you got to create opportunity for people if we're going to make change.
Yeah.
It's huge. So I just want to bring that back to the surface because I love what you guys are doing. Back to the idea of like locations. So you're looking for second generation. What about communities? What kind of communities? Have you figured out what demographics your concept do well with?
Yeah, we're eight locations in now, and we're still trying to figure that out. It sounds crazy, but even at eight locations, you don't know 100%.
You're only 3 years in, though. You only know until you know. You know? So sorry to interrupt you. Keep going.
Every location behaves different in different parts of town. Some areas are more heavy on the weekends. Some are just Monday through Friday. Some do more liquor. Some do less. We're trying everything right now. We're all over, our goal is to be all over Georgia and understand every single demographic.
Any promising patterns?
Massive clues? Population. A lot of people.
When I first spoke to you, you said that you wanted to open three real tacos in every city.
I wanted to target cities that could hold three units.
That was your plan for growth. You're still in Atlanta, though.
We're still in Atlanta. We're going to keep doing Atlanta.
Were you hoping to be in different cities by this point?
No, because if we wanted to be multi-city right now, we would be looking for a big valuation, and we don't really care right now.
I think you're doing the right thing, honestly.
We want to have the piggy bank. We want to build Atlanta. We're stable. We're not broke anymore. We can afford to go out of state, and we cannot afford it right now.
Well, I mean, I think I'm all for the approach of centrifugal circles, where like you start here and you just go a little bit further out, a little bit further out, to the point where you get like amazing brand recognition in a single community, and you hit hard at that community to the point where people leave your community and they miss you. Yes. And then when you go to wherever they went, they're like, oh, fuck yeah, there's a Real Tacos here now. Like owning a community and getting that like that brand loyalty in one market, I think hits so much harder than trying to spread yourself out.
Yes. I was just today in my house when I was leaving in the elevator. One person, comes into the elevator. Oh, I love Real Tacos. And the elevator goes down to the next floor, and another person comes in. Oh, I love Real Tacos. And I was like, holy shit, two people just recognized our brand in the That's same awesome. Elevator. This is crazy.
Yeah, but if you spread it out, it's not, you don't hit the same way.
Exactly.
You don't get that loyalty like right. you do. So you brought Miguel on today. He's been very quiet over here.
He actually talks. I never talk. He's the one that does all the talking.
Why
every
are you being
single
so
day.
Quiet, Miguel?
I love listening to everything that I already know, but it's pretty cool to hear this guy talk, man. I mean, he's a CEO for a reason. He's got the vision, and I've been hanging out with this guy for almost 4 years now. And it's been pretty cool to just kind of see everything come to fruition. Like he called it everything that we said that we're doing right now. It happened just like it was supposed to happen, and even better.
And you've been around since day one, correct?
I reached out to Damien back in 2020, and I wanted to do my own thing, and he helped me with a lease negotiation for a restaurant that was second gen, and then he ended up like doing it with me, and we opened up the business together. And he said, "I'll work for free. I just want to try this marketing thing and the second gen thing."
And wait, so you opened your own restaurant, like not related to Real Tacos?
I started, in the restaurant business May of 2020. I didn't have any experience, that's why I think that our opportunity is very unique, because the cost of entry is just, it's very minimal. You got to just show up and just work really damn hard. And then if you do that after a year, you get the chance to do something that not a lot of people get a chance to do, which is to own a piece of a growing business. And all you have to do is just
sweat trust equity, us. Right?
Yeah. So I reached out to Damien and he helped me with my first restaurant. And I thought the route to go to was, you know, you take some money and then you go open something and you build it from scratch. And you know, in my head, I thought I was going to lay concrete. And that wasn't the route I went. And we've been doing second gen ever since.
So your name came up in the first episode. We gave you a nod and you guys were doing the same things, ironically, in two different markets. You were in Texas. You were in Atlanta.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you were both selling
products
out of kiosks. So your sales. Yeah. One thing I love about the two of you and the culture you bring, and this is kind of re-listening to the episode that we published together, Damien, kind of resurfaced this thought of like, when you said that it's so much easier to find people and to get like employees in a restaurant. I was like, wait, what? Like you literally like, I thought I heard you wrong when you said that, but you're talking about sales and how aggressive sales is. And the both of you have this background in sales. When you think about it, we are in sales. Like the restaurant industry, at the end of the day, we're selling literally food, but more than that, we're selling a culture and a vision to our people of what's possible. And I think that's one of your two strengths. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's an experience. Definitely. You know, one thing that I realized whenever I first met Damien was that we had a similar vision, but we were complete opposites. Everything that he likes to do, I hate to do. Like, I'm not a big fan of construction. I'll get my hands dirty, but I'm not the best foreman. And you know,
I'm right there with you, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, I do my best to keep up, but you know, and it turns out that I like to do everything that maybe he's not so fond of. So I believe I heard this definition of management. So a good manager is going to identify what somebody's good at and create a position where they can explore their talents. And then, you know, by doing so, you're going to be able to really find another gear out of a person. You know, bad management is, you know, getting somebody to do something that they don't necessarily like to do. Yeah, they're going to do their job. You're paying them to do their job.
You're managing strengths and interests.
100%.
Right? And you're getting to know people and you're finding vertical for like putting people in the right seat. So like you can't just be like, okay, you're hired, go do this job. It's like, you're hired, do this job for now, but like, what do you want to do?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most definitely. You know, so when we realized that we're complete opposites and, you know, he loves to do the real estate side of it and lease negotiations and the numbers, the charts. And I love to deal with the people.
Yeah.
We said, okay, there's some chemistry here. You know, let's see how far we can take this.
So what have you learned about how to deal with people?
You never stop learning. You get a chance to just learn every single day. I mean, I think one of the big things that I've learned personally is knowing when to step out of a position. You know, at this moment, I mean, we have over 300 people that work with us. You know, they're our staff, they're our team members. They work side by side with us. You know, they're not employees. Right. So not treating people like they're employees and making them understand that everybody here has an opportunity to grow. And you may be a dishwasher right now, but that doesn't mean that you can't be the next kitchen partner. Right. Right. Not just a manager. So asking questions and then listening to people as well.
What does that look like? Like, would you like create ritual routine around this? Like, how do you make sure you're learning about your people?
So one of the things that we started doing a few months ago, every Monday and now every Tuesday, we have these weekly meetings with our staff. And, you know, we meet with our, you know, most of the times with our managers in every location. You know, that's going to be our kitchen manager, bar manager, front of the house manager, you know, myself and our directors of operation, Leo, that's been with us since location number one. And also Wilson, who's our VP of operations. He's here listening to the podcast right now. You know, we make an effort to listen to what's going on in the restaurant, you know, because whenever you manage from a bird's eye view, there's only so many things that you can see and you can hear. So when you're inside of the restaurants every single week, you're able to kind of, you know, pinpoint certain problems that maybe would have taken you weeks to get on top of. So by being in the restaurants every single week, you know, I know that every Monday and every Tuesday we make our rounds. You know, we call it the little mini taco rally. You know,
is there like a structure to that conversation? Oh, yeah. Like what is that structure
look? So the structure is we compare the week's prior sales. So, you know, we compare week per week, and then for the locations that have been around for almost a year, yeah, we can compare same week last year. Got and it. We can see a difference in sales.
We're totally casual here, by the way. Do you need to get a word out? Okay.
No.
I see you like sign languaging. I'm like, just talk up. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to write down some notes as Miguel speaks. So okay. I'm going to recap. Oh, this has changed the game for us. Oh, this has changed the game. And this.
Got it. Yeah. We got notepads. Thank you, my friend.
So, yes,
I remember you from the last time I was here. Nice to meet you. And what's your name again? Wilson. That's right. You just said that. Nice to see you again.
Yeah. So we go over, so obviously the sales and then also, you know, cost of goods, labor, you know, you try to get the prime cost.
So numbers. You're basically looking at your key performance indicators. So you're looking at the scorecard, right?
100%.
Up or down? Why or why not?
Yeah. And there's always a reason why.
So once you go over numbers, what's next?
Housekeeping stuff. It could be something as simple as like, hey, the toilet dispenser, the paper dispenser is not working.
So you're discussing issues. You're 100%. Everyone's like, what issues do you have? You're making lists of issues.
Yeah. And it's different whenever, you know, if you have a front of the house manager being attentive to what's going on the floor, they're going to do their best to keep up with what's going on. But when you have eight different sets of eyes, I mean, sometimes the issue might get resolved by the bar manager or the kitchen manager or one of us, you know, right then and there. So we try to identify as many problems or many issues that are going on currently before they become problems. All right. So it's putting out fires when you start seeing the smoke signals and then seeing how many people can actually put these things out before they become issues.
And then what happens once you've laid out all the issues and you've kind of brainstormed like what to do? What happens next?
We take action immediately. Like there's some things that are mentioned in that meeting. You know, these meetings are, you know, 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes long. And there's some issues that get resolved right then and there.
Yeah.
Right? And it's cool to see that. Like,
what happens? What about the things that can't be resolved? I bet there's, I'm sorry, I have my ADD is on fire. I'm staring at a helicopter in the mirror behind you.
No worries.
Anyway, so what happens once you identify all the issues and like you resolve the ones you can? What happens if they can't be resolved in that moment? Where does the issue go after that?
Well, we're gonna just try to find a solution. I mean, we all look at each other and say, okay, who is knowledgeable in plumbing? And then if Damien just happens to be there, by the time that we end that meeting, if he can get his hands in there and do something with plumbing, we'll do it. You know, if Wilson is around and he can get a hold of somebody that can help us resolve something going on with the AC, or maybe if we're troubleshooting something with a POS system, right? Wilson's our tech guy. You know, he's installed every single POS system that we have in every one of the restaurants, so he knows where the Ethernet cables are. He knows how to reset everything. So
is everybody getting like their own individual to-do list essentially? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, and there's some weeks where, you know, everybody's to-do list is not that big. But then, you know, there come moments where, okay, hey, maybe your attention is required a lot more in this side of town or at this restaurant. Or maybe we should focus on the north for the next week or two. You know, there's a lot of training going on. There's a lot of hiring going on. So there's a lot of development that we have to, you know, that we have to do. So, you know, Leo, our VP of operations, might spend a little bit more time with some of the operations that we have up north, right? Or sometimes, you know, our attention is going to be required a lot more, you know, inside of the city. So those meetings help us out a lot.
Okay. Do you know that are you aware that you just described the level 10 EOS model for meetings?
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
How many levels are there?
Yeah. Well, this is called the level 10, meaning it's like the best level meeting. Like, so I'm a huge fan of EOS, Traction. I don't know if you've heard of the book, yes. Gino Wickman.
You interview the...
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm trying to get a full house and getting all the Traction authors on the show. I'm actually talking to Mark Winters based in Dallas. We're not going to be able to connect on this road trip, but he wrote Rocket Fuel. And like, I am such a fanboy of EOS. And, but what they do, they follow exactly that order. So it starts with just like, hey, like share some good news, personally and professionally. So like they break the ice to like make it human, right? Mm-hmm. And then they get into the numbers and they list all the, they cover all the KPIs. And then as issues are coming up, they're saying, drop it down, drop it down, drop it down. And like, are there any customer issues? Are there any vendor issues? Are there whatever they might be, drop it down until you have this list of issues. Then you start going through the issues and then you start talking about, before you even do that, you go through everybody's rock review. And everybody has these like quarterly rocks. Their goal for the quarter. Are you on track or off track? Off track, drop it down. So it's just like this meeting where they get together and they just cover all these issues and they get together and they brainstorm it and they try to resolve the issue in that moment. And then whatever can't be resolved in that moment becomes the to-do list for the next week. And then when you come back, hopefully it's no longer an issue.
You just described what he does in the meeting.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love it. And they go over the level 10 meeting in EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, the book Traction. Love that organization. Super fanboy. If you're listening to this, go get that book Traction and do exactly what Real Tacos is doing every week. It's a process for growth, and it's also a process to get to know your people.
Yeah, most definitely. And the ultimate goal is to build morale in those meetings. Yeah. You know, sometimes we don't have a lot of chance to interact with the managers for more than 30, 40 minutes because, you know, during any given time when they're on the floor, they're doing something and they're doing something very productive. So, Yeah. You know, in maybe in situations where there may be a restaurant that needs a little bit more of our help and our attention.
Yeah.
You know, the goal is just to build everyone's morale.
And go ahead. No, you please.
Oh yeah. I mean, the ones that are doing what they need to do, we pick on them a little bit, you know, but it's like a little tough love.
Right? Yeah. It's just, you need that sometimes, a little jab here and there to keep people in line. I forgot what I was going to ask you, but, I think in terms of, I feel like we can pivot back over to Damien because you guys, you kind of spelled out your clear lanes, right? So Damien, you're more, I don't want to say like you like to focus on project management, new development, looking at markets, real estate, purchasing different, you know, like that's your focus is growth.
Numbers growth, yeah.
Yeah, like a physical, tangible growth of assets where your focus is more on the relationship growth, physical relation, like providing opportunity for people. And are you basically, do you decide like who goes to what location and stuff like that?
No, we all talk it amongst each other. And I just try to give as much information as to what people want and what they're looking for and seeing if they're ready. And then I speak it over with the team and then we all create an action plan for that person's development.
So in your mind is a COO? Because there's the chief, we mentioned there's a director of operations, a DOO, you have a CEO. I think you had a president of operations too.
A VP of operations. That's Wilson. I'm a punching bag. our roles change all the time, okay. But like I, you know, anything with operations, if something's like messing up, then I try to take it to the gut. Or I try to take the brunt of it. That can be just listening to people.
I mean, we've already talked about a lot of the things that I want to talk about today. Like, I mean, we're nowhere near the end of the conversation, but I think now is a good time to take a break to thank our sponsors and we'll be right back to kind of let you guys steer the ship and talk about what you want to talk about. This episode is brought to you by Mies. Running the back of house brings a whole suite of challenges like distributing intellectual property from your chef's brain to your back of house team across all of your locations. Once that information gets distributed, you still have to train your back of house to ensure the recipes are being executed accurately and consistently. Once everybody is trained, you still have to nail down profit calculations, which can be a nightmare when your team doesn't fully understand theoretical food costs, factoring in yields, and unit conversions. Then, once all this is done, you still have to push the information across all of your locations in real time, factoring in the prices that are constantly changing. Are you kidding me? That's where Mies comes in. With Mies, you can standardize your culinary intellectual property and stay in sync as a team. You can train your team quickly and maintain dish consistency by turning your recipes into interactive training material, and you can get laser accurate food costs because Mies allows you to calculate the yields of your ingredients with prep loss included. Create a free account by visiting getmeez.com/unstoppable. That's getmeez.com/unstoppable. And as a listener of Restaurant Unstoppable, you can get 25 recipes uploaded to your Mies account for free. Sign up today and learn more at getmeez.com/unstoppable.
This episode is brought to you by Restaurant Technologies, Inc. RTI's Total Oil Management automates your entire cooking oil process. With Total Oil Management, you get dependable fresh bulk cooking oil delivery, filtration plus oil usage monitoring and reporting, easy oil disposal, used cooking oil pickup and recycling, and say goodbye to those messy, dangerous restaurant rendering tanks. Yuck. RTI's end-to-end cooking oil system helps you manage your used cooking oil disposal, storage, collection, and recycling conveniently, safely, and cleanly with no upfront cost. RTI's services are not limited to oil. They also provide insurance premiums and automated hood cleaning solutions, plus hood filtration systems, making your hood cleaning process easy, automatic, and worry-free. In addition to all this, Restaurant Technologies, Inc. can help you reduce your carbon footprint, which we all know is becoming increasingly more important to the consumer. Restaurant Technologies, Inc. is always on, so you don't have to be. To learn more, head to RTI-Inc.com and let them know Restaurant Unstoppable Podcast sent you their way. All right, we're back, and there's so much that we can discuss, but like, you guys mentioned you wanted me to come back out here. There's a lot of stuff that has happened. And when you reached out to me, I was excited because I knew the first interview was so good and I knew a lot has happened in a short period of time. But like, what are the things that you're most excited about bringing to the conversation?
Things that we are slowly learning. I mean, we're basically a bunch of kids with a big dream, right?
Yeah.
And we're pushing the boundaries every single day.
You're 32?
31.
31, and you're?
32.
32.
And our goal is to get to 100 million in revenue within a driving distance. We don't want to live flying every single day.
So is that a five-hour drive?
Yeah, that's, you know, Florida and North Carolina, South.
So the Southeast. Tennessee,
Southeast, keep it simple, you know, grow the brand. Acquired a few brands out there. So we're learning a lot, and we figured there's some good nuggets of information we can drop that might be useful for somebody opening their second location that eventually is going to turn into a chain. Who knows?
So let's list the things that you've learned without getting into any detail, just to kind of bring them to the surface and we can kind of drill down once we have them laid out. So what were those big things? If we could just like make a list right now. Oh,
well, I was just writing down as Miguel was speaking, a couple of things that have changed our operation after five units, doing the Monday meetings with every single GM, right? Another thing has changed the way our people perform is having a partnership program where people can own equity in their location. And some people have multiple locations in equity, which it could be an extra an extra $100,000 a year for these people.
Right.
Not only that, we're not selling the company. But let's say we do 10, 20 years from now, everybody's getting paid.
Nice. I love that. What else? Keep going down that, the idea of listing things, because I want to drill down on all this stuff.
Now we started implementing maybe 3-4 months ago, What the Fuck Wednesdays. That's when we all get together in this table. All the directors in the company and so on, and we discuss what the fuck has been going on for the past 7 days. That way, every department can have an update.
Okay.
Like the catering department has an update, and the accounting department has an update, and marketing has an update. So everybody's updated in this office, and we know what department is doing what. So that gives us better communication, which, you know, makes us have a better culture in the company.
Miguel, what about you? Anything that you're just like itching to discuss?
No, I mean, it's pretty much hitting all those. We're learning to have more communication. We're learning to get better at execution. We're learning the methodical process of proper planning. And that is everything. You know, if you plan the right way, you minimize errors. There's still going to be errors, but you can foresee errors in the future.
Has tech stack evolved in the past?
Yes.
Year
and
a half?
You want to check out the tech right now or later?
Yeah, we can make a list. I would love to dive into that too. And what about marketing?
Marketing, we're still doing the usual, mostly social media, a lot of new foodies that we use, ads and...
All right, so we have our list of things to talk about. We're going to talk about Monday meetings with GMs. We already kind of talked about that a little bit.
We did that one.
Partnership program, I'd love to get into that. What the Fuck Wednesdays, I'd love to get into what that looks like. Sorry, I should say WTF Wednesdays. Yeah. I apologize. Proper planning, and I want to get into your tech stack and how your marketing has changed, because I know you guys are super sharp marketers. So partnership program. So when I was here last, you had the option for people to buy in. And
yeah,
there was
didn't share it all the way. You asked about it?
Yeah, I was pushing, and you were kind of reserved. I think you were kind of like...
We were starting it, and we were trying to see what was going to be the outcome of it. Basically, the way it works for us is each location has five partners. It could be bar managers, it could be chefs, it could be GMs, assistant, you know, assistant GMs. It could be somebody from the office. So 10% of each location is giving out an equity to those top performers, five people, two, 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 two.
So if you fill one of those positions, one of those roles, you instantly get access to profit sharing is what I'm hearing from you.
Yes.
Got it.
Not only that, you on paper own that equity, which obviously...
So you're giving them equity, and it's not just you're sharing in the cash flow profit, but you're actually getting equity in the value of that business.
Yes. Obviously, you cannot turn around and sell it.
Right.
It's not transferable in that sense, unless we do have an acquisition event one day.
Yes. Okay. So this is the stuff I'm curious about. Is like you... A lot of people get worried about doing profit sharing and sharing equity because... You know, you give somebody equity and then they decide that like, I'm not really into it anymore, but I'm going to hang on to my equity. I'm not going to carry my weight.
We haven't seen that yet. And it's not a huge amount of equity. It's a small amount of equity per location. And if you really perform at that first location, the team is going to call you and say, hey, you're going to be the chef at our new location. And if you perform there, you're going to be a partner as well. And if you do great there, there might be a huge opportunity, maybe in Florida or maybe in a different state.
So you're giving them 2%. Mm-hmm. At one of those five positions, but you're also giving them the option to give their own money to the cause. They can buy more.
We value each restaurant at $500,000.
Okay.
Roughly, we're spending right now $750 or so per location. So once the first two, you know, let's say 200, 250 is paid back and we're flat at 500, hey, you can buy, you know, you have been doing great. You've been with us for over a year. That's one of the qualifications. And you can buy in. We also have a salary cap of $100K. So we have a few, you know, a lot of people at that salary cap right now. And the way they can make more money is by performing and being a partner. And you can ask a lot of the partners. We're talking to Leo. I'm like, Leo, what's better, getting a partnership check or a payroll check? It's like partnership check. Even if it's smaller or bigger or whatever that was that month, it's so exciting to get a check and you find out how much it is for that month.
When you say partner, you're using that interchangeably with one of these five people at each location.
Right.
Got it.
Yeah.
Cool. Sorry, we're going to
say. And not every location is filled up. Some locations only have three partners, so there's two left.
That was my next question. What happens if you have somebody who is like showing tons of promise, like they're on deck, right? Like there's clearly future for them within the organization. They're on deck. Maybe they inherited $100,000 from grandma or something, and they're like, well, you know, I want to invest. Are they able to make an investment?
No.
No?
Okay. They're investing through sweat equity, really.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people are in line. Not every location is filled. So there's also motivation left on the table for everybody who's still up there and up and coming in our company.
Fill roles.
Exactly. And then our job is to keep growing to fulfill those people that want to be partners with us. And eventually, we'll love to have a team that is making a lot of money and has equity. And yeah, that'd be amazing.
So why do you think people steer away from this model? Where was your inspiration for this model?
Well, it was the only way I could make my old business work. It was through partnerships and I liked it. And that was my retail business 10 years ago. And like I said, it just works. If everybody makes money, it's just more fun.
Yeah. And there's more loyalty. And it's, I mean, why do you think people avoid this? Why is there such a negative, scary,
I don't know.
Error on this?
Honestly, I don't know. I've been in the industry for like 4 years now. So I'm not very familiar how other partnerships work and other restaurant chains. I would love to have 100 partners. I don't know why they avoid it. I don't know if it's maybe some ego or maybe the business is not. Also, let's be honest, you cannot just open up a partnership if the business is not very profitable. Right. It has to be making money.
I think that's definitely a part of it, where there's the business model has been kind of shitty for the longest time. We just kind of cookie cutter, rinse and repeat the same business model because it's all we know how to do. And also, I don't know, you think about some of these like really successful restaurants that get a lot of accolades, and then you start like opening into their profit and loss, and you realize they're not making any money because their labor is through the roof and their cost of goods are through the roof. And it's just like from the outside looking in, they look super successful because that's the facade they put off. But when you open the books, they might be making 5% if they're lucky, or 10% if they're lucky.
And the risk is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean risk? Risk of...
if your company is running a 5% profit, and you're doing, you know, 10 million a year and you're only taking, you know, 500K, I mean, that's a big risk.
Right.
All those leases and your personal guarantees and this and that.
Yeah. Where did, so your inspiration for this was through your previous businesses and sales.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to learn anywhere about how to set up these apartments? Like, are you getting lawyers involved? Like, what are the legal things?
Yeah, the lawyers. There's a partnership agreement done by lawyers. Yeah, of course. But no, I just learned it by doing business, and I've been obsessed my whole life with business. Business. Every podcast I listen to is business.
Yeah.
Like everything, I just love it. I mean, I started my first business when I was 20. And never since then.
What can you teach us about partnership agreements that are maybe elements of a partnership agreement that should be there to recreate what you're doing?
Vision, definitely there has to be money. You're not going to make partners who are just going to have a title of partnerships and they're not making money. A lot of other partnership structures that I've seen, one of the drawbacks is once you're a business owner and you're wealthy and you've made money for, you know, 20, 30 years, you put somebody in a partnership and you want to do a yearly share or quarterly, and that partner is their first time getting involved in a piece of ownership in the business, they can't wait a whole year to get paid. They can't just get paid four times a year. Doing it monthly is very, very important, and having a schedule. So we do it the first Friday of each month. So let's say you own a piece of one of our restaurants. That bank account has $100,000 today. At the end of the month, on the first Friday, that bank account now has $200,000. We take $100,000, we chop it up, 2% is yours, so you get a check for $2,000. So we do that every single month. Very simple. You know, we don't do all this crazy math on the what's in the bank account the first Friday of each month, and how much can we share? And then we are very aggressive, and we share as much as we can. And the company, or the parent company that owns 90% of the business, we take that 90% and reinvest it into new locations, which is creating new opportunity.
Okay. So what about, like, in terms of, like, expectation? So, like, what are the deal breakers that can cause you to lose partnership? Are you clear about that?
Yeah. If you get fired for, you know, doing something terrible, that will get you fired out of, any job. Yeah.
Are there things that, like, you work into the agreement to hold partners accountable?
Yes.
Like what?
Basically, working with us full time, obviously, that the partnership is not transferable or sellable. Stipulations in the contract that, yeah, you cannot get fired for obvious reasons. And obviously, in order to get fired, you have to get written up a few times and, you know, eventually. But yeah, if you do something, you know, if you steal or... bad.
I'm sure this is what you hire the lawyers. So I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, but it's as simple as possible. Yeah. You know, we keep the contract, you know, as simple as possible.
Got it. So have we pretty much unpackaged partnership program? Is there anything else?
Over the surface, yeah. I mean, the basics. But just the idea is it's finding a number that makes sense for your business and creating opportunity. We have another business, which we started first, the cafe, and the numbers are different there. Obviously, the sales are not the same as a real tacos. So the partnerships, the percentages are different in that business. It has to be a meaningful amount of money for people that are very invested in the business, right? That's what I believe. And whatever number you decide on, if you put that equity and give it to your best people who are outperforming, is that going to increase your business by more than the percentage you are giving? Yeah, for sure.
Got it. So let's talk about WTF Wednesdays.
What the fuck Wednesdays?
Yeah. So what was the inspiration for this?
It was like, well, every department now needs to know roughly what kind, not too much, but what is going on in every other side of the, you know, of the business. I mean, we have over 300 people now. So it's, you know, 12 or 15 of us that sit in this same table, and we start from one side and a minute or two each. This is what's going on with my side of the job. I have this vendors and this rebates and this and this vendor is not showing up. Okay, next, accounting. Oh, this P&L and I'm missing this, and this manager is not sending the invoices on time. And then we move on to next. So that way, every single person who is touching the business every single day has a sense of what's going on in a department that they're not really involved. But I kind of know what's going on with accounting. I kind of know what's going on with catering. That way, we're not disconnected. And it's just one
hour.
So
nobody's in a silo.
Yeah. It's just 1 hour to like kind of reconnect. And if we do it every single week, because if you don't do this for, I don't know, months, then you have no idea who is your – imagine if accounting didn't know who was the catering manager and accounting didn't know who was the director of a beverage and things like that. And that could happen.
You know, what I'm thinking about is like the tension that's always between like the front of house and back of house, right?
Yes.
Like different departments. And they just become numbers on a spreadsheet and like, oh, like so-and-so over there is not doing their job. But when you get together and you're forced to talk about things, instead of just looking at numbers or hearing through the grapevine, it humanizes the business a little bit.
100%.
I love that.
I think it's all about getting people together. Have you noticed this is our office? There's no walls.
Yeah, I love it.
It's just a big box.
Yeah.
And every desk is here. And the day we transition to a big office, we're going to do the same. Have a big, big, big box. And that way everybody can talk to each other. You don't have to like go to a room and everybody's isolated. You know, everybody can talk. There's no secrets here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where was the inspiration for this? Was somebody else doing What the Fuck Fridays or...
No. So, okay, that's funny you say that. Yes, yes and no. First of all, we needed it. And the name, What the Fuck Friday? What was the video? Dana White. What does he do? Okay, so Dana White was doing Fuck It Friday.
Dana White?
Yeah, from the UFC.
Okay.
Fuck It Friday. And I was like, that's cool. What the Fuck Wednesday? And because, you know, we had a meeting that Wednesday and it stayed. But it's really like... W2F, what's going on this week? And it could be any topic in your department.
So how is this different from your Monday meeting?
The Monday meeting is very KPI with the managers at each location. So we drive to 4 restaurants on Monday, another 2 on Tuesdays. Now it's going to be 3 on Tuesdays. And it's a meeting with each manager and their team. So it's the bar manager, the assistant manager, the manager, and the chef. And sometimes a second in charge of the kitchen.
Got it.
And the shift leader. So that is a team. That is a meeting for each restaurant, and we just focus on you. The Wednesday meeting is just for the office and is very informal.
So it's more of an executive level type stuff.
Yeah, but we keep it like you can say whatever you want.
Got
whatever
it.
Happened this week in your department.
Are you guys going to all the on-site meetings? So Monday and Tuesday, you guys are doing 4 weekly meetings?
Miguel does it all the time, and I try to do it once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
I'm mostly dealing with a lot of construction and other things, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's really important. I think your relationship is a shining example of staying in your lanes, and you're the founder, safe to say, right, Damien?
No, the founder is Adrian Villarreal.
Well, you're the CEO.
Yes. Yeah, we bought the company in 2.5 years ago.
Yeah. So
had a one unit. Yeah.
So as the CEO, as the owner, but yes, there's multiple owners, but as the CEO, I think it's important to build layers between you and the work. Like, would you be able to be working on focusing on scaling and site selection and all this other stuff if you didn't have your right man at hand, Miguel, going and keeping tabs on the people?
No way. And Miguel couldn't even breathe, and if he didn't have Leo and Wilson, right, and all these people.
Continuous layers even beyond the two of you
all the way. Yes.
And when, like, you've been around, like, when did you have the title COO? Back when I was here the first time, right?
Yeah.
So now it's only a year in.
Yeah, we're just two idiots that like took two titles.
No, but I think it's so important because people have struggled. Myself included, I'm struggling on scaling Restaurant Unstoppable because I've been trying to do everything like on my own, like an idiot. And like I talk to people like you, and I'm like, why haven't I tried just creating layers, like just taking a leap? Like you got to like just do it, right? And that's what I love about you guys is you just go for it and like you figure it out.
It kind of goes back to what I was talking to you about, you know, as far as management is concerned. You know, at first ask a question, what are you good at and what do you like to do? You know, and hey, it was just kind of like a coin toss. Hey,
right.
Everything you like to do is CEO stuff.
Right.
And everything that I like to do is operations. Like that deals with people. Yeah. And that's kind of how we decided, right? Obviously, our roles are sometimes you wear multiple hats, and there's times where, you know, if he goes on vacation, I myself with Wilson and everybody else has to be the CEOs, right? And we see exactly what it is that he has to do on a day-to-day basis, right? Yeah.
So how do you find, how do you just attract onto yourself these people? Like, do you put it out? Are you constantly communicating what you need?
Yeah, having great culture in the company, first of all, it's very important, right? It helps us that we are the new guys. So it's a sexy company. Yeah. Look at these guys. They're doing it. They're giving out partnerships. They have no money, but they're finding a way to do it. it's just a fun story. So we attract good people. And having the vision, first of all, and actually not bullshitting around with the opportunity. Like, it's really, really happening. And we keep saying it day by day and promising, but we're also delivering. And once it happens to one person, two, three, four, then you realize, okay, people now are going to come and join the team.
The thing that scares me about just doing this and bringing people on is not having the money. Like, a fear of, if I bring these people on, I won't be able to afford them, and then I won't hold up my end of the deal.
Yes. Right? Well, the way we have done it is by this gut feeling of like, oh my God, we need somebody. We need somebody right now because we are maxed out. And that happens. That happens since day one. I mean, when we took over the concept, there was a QSR. We changed it to full service right away. And within 2 weeks, we're like, oh my God, we need a host.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, we need another bartender. And it's been the same gut feeling of like, it's time right now to add more people to the team. And it hasn't stopped ever since. Now it's just bigger positions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when we do bring in big players, they do a 2 week training where they start washing dishes on the first day.
Yeah.
So they still understand what the company is about from all the way, you know, from dishwashing to prepping to the bar to then managing.
I love that. So proper planning, that was the other thing that we were going to discuss. How has that evolved since the last time I talked to you?
Well, a lot. I mean, last time we met, we were just like, okay, tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo. And now we're getting ready for Cinco de Mayo 3 months before.
Mm.
And we have amazing people in our team who are very good at planning, like Wilson and Michelle and so on. It has been luckily by finding the right people. And all these people are smarter than us. And they really start planning before we tell them, hey, we should start planning for this. And they have been working on it for a month.
There's a lot of parallels between Restaurant Unstoppable and Real Tacos right now, if I'm being honest, like where you guys are at and like a lot of it's resonating with me because I'm feeling the same struggles. Business is business at the end of the day, whether you're a restaurant or you're a podcast. But like one of the whole reasons why I'm living in a camper, why I'm choosing to live this lifestyle is A, to free up cash flow so I can get the people so I can hire the who's and surround myself with the technicians to do all the stuff I should not be doing. You guys saw me setting up these cameras today. I should not be doing that. I should not be editing. I should not be doing social media. I should not be doing this stuff. So I'm trying to free up cash flow by limiting my liabilities so I can. And the other variable that is the planning is that it's so much just to get the 2 episodes a week that if I just live on the road full time, I can finally get content scheduled 3 months into the future so I can put a plan together. And like that's what I'm really excited about. I'm out here. I mean, it's fun to talk about what I'm doing sometimes just to give the listeners a little behind the scenes of what's going on and why I'm doing these things. But it's also just fun to relate to what you guys are going
on. Is this your first episode in the that you...
You are the third episode I've recorded because I drove down from New Hampshire. I stopped in Brooklyn. And I stopped in Charleston.
Great.
So oh, wait, I'm sorry. You're the fourth episode. I stopped in Brooklyn. I stopped in Greenville, North Carolina. And I stopped in Charleston. This is my fourth stop.
It looks amazing, by the way. This guy showed up here in a camper. You know, you've been doing this for the industry now for 10 years.
I'm stoked, dude. It's surreal.
And there's so much that we have learned from listening to your podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. It's fun. I have a blast. I get to talk to really cool people every day, and they feed me really well, too.
Yeah.
I get weird talking about me. let's go back to you guys. So let's talk about tech and then marketing, how that's evolved over the past two or a year and a half. And then I also want to talk about like the future. I want to think about I want to start visioning with you guys and dreaming of like not just where you're going, but where the industry is going. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
This podcast is made possible by Restaurant Systems Pro, and we need to let you know that every second and fourth Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, CEO of Restaurant Systems Pro, Fred Langley, will be going live where he'll cover what you need to know about running a profitable restaurant from soup to nuts. This live event will reveal the steps to manage the service and financial goals for your restaurant's productivity. Everyone who attends this live event will get a recording of the Restaurant Systems Pro 4-day How to Run a Profitable Restaurant from Soup to Nuts recording. This event costs $2,500 to attend live, and you'll get it for free. Head to go.restaurantsystemspro.net/restaurantunstoppable. That's go.restaurantsystemspro.net/restaurantunstoppable. This episode made possible by Owner.com. Owner.com is the quickest and easiest way for your customers to order directly from you without the expensive 30% commission fees. With Owner.com, you'll save thousands every month when customers order through your website and branded app instead of third-party delivery apps, and reward your customers with a built-in loyalty program that turns them into regulars who order again and again. Owner.com also helps you rank higher on Google with world-class search engine optimization built specifically for restaurants with an AI-powered website. We cannot forget lists. Build a huge list of people who live near your restaurant fast and market to that list on autopilot with text and email sent at the perfect time to help you grow sales and stay top of mind. Owner.com gives you everything you need to grow and market your restaurant online with no contracts or hidden fees. Visit Owner.com/unstoppable right now to book your free demo and see why thousands of restaurant owners trust Owner.com to power their restaurants online. We are back. And so the last time I was here, we talked a little bit about tech. We talked about you were using Toast. You were starting to use Ovation. I saw you were on the Ovation podcast too.
Yes.
Was that new since the last time I was here?
That was after, yeah.
Okay.
With Zach.
Zach is the man.
He's something else. I love him.
He's a character, man. He's got a lot of energy.
Yeah.
For sure. And has anything changed with Toast or Ovation in terms of the way you're using those platforms?
No, we use Ovation. Ovation is great because you can set it up where we'll send a text message to an online order after they pick it up. And if they like it, they can leave a review. If they don't like it, they can talk to you. So every time we do make a mistake, you know, we refund or whatever we do to make the customer happy. Ovation also has a little tent that you can put on the table, and the customer can talk to you while they're sitting at the table, which also helps a lot. So we still use Ovation. We love it.
Number one customer feedback platform out there.
Yes. Yes.
Love Ovation. Go ahead.
I would love if they could... let you know which table is talking to you, but that will require a different QR for each table, and it'll be too much. Soul Link, but Ovation is great. Soul Link we use for cameras.
So how do you spell that?
S-O-L-I-N-K. Okay. Soul Link.
Okay.
We starting to use it. We like it a lot. I think it's very fitting for a restaurant. We're doing anywhere 16 to 22 cameras per restaurant. We're going to do more eventually. So Soul Link for cameras, we do like.
Yeah, 100% buy cameras if you're working in the restaurant industry. So important.
Yeah, so you can never have enough cameras for sure. We're going to start trying out Sunday. Sunday, it's a pay app. We're going to try that. We can give an update on our next podcast.
What do you mean by a pay app? Like by paying your employees?
It's an app that you can scan and pay your ticket, your order at the end of your dinner.
So hit me with the name of that again.
Sunday.
Yeah, I think their headquarters are here. Okay, I think they might have recently reached out to me. Let me just check my email. Keep going.
Sunday. I believe it's great, so we're gonna try it out. Then obviously for our POS, we use Toast. Toast is the best POS with the best technology, with the worst customer service. But we love them. I mean, there's no number two. Their technology is just great.
Yes, they did reach out to me. Sorry, but bookmark what you just said. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't listening because Sunday sounded so familiar. Sunday just reached out to me and yes. They want to work with Restaurant Unstoppable. I'm like, yo, hold on. No one's recommended you on the show yet. We need to. And Fred Castellucci's working with them.
Yes, a lot of comics are working with them. And what we've been attracted to is that they pay for their chargebacks and things like that.
Doesn't Toast offer an option for like a QR code at the bottom of the receipt?
Yes, but Sunday's a sexier way of paying.
What makes it sexier?
It's just more better curvy? Once you scan. Yeah, it's just better. It just looks better when you scan it. Also, you can get it for a cheaper rate.
Okay.
The non-card present rate for Toast is like, you know.
Got it.
1% higher. But
I think they're actually I want to say they are a United Kingdom.
Yes, they're from the UK. I think it's from France or somewhere.
Well, there's a really successful restaurateur who started this company.
Yes.
And it spun out. So I was talking to them, and I play hard to get when it comes to sponsors because I'm always afraid about being a sellout. So thank you so much for. I didn't talk to you about this before.
Oh, they're great. No, yeah. They're great. We met up with them. They're great. They're from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Their division here in the States is here.
I'll be happy to let them know that there's a good testimonial coming yes. their way. Thank you for that.
So after Sunday, we have Toast. Toast is we hate and love Toast.
Why do you hate Toast?
Their customer service is terrible, but it's so good. Their software is so good. There's no number two. That's the problem with Toast. There's no number two. They're so far ahead in everything that they're number one, number two, three, four, five. There's nothing even close.
Have you checked out Spot On?
No, it's too late. We're not going to change. We're just going
to
deal with.
I hear what you're saying. Has their customer service gotten better? Because I know the pandemic hit them hard. They were like they pushed hard to scale, and I think they might have overextended at a really bad time, expecting massive growth. They also went public. Let's be honest. That probably
also the way they do their billing. You know, you have six tablets, and they're billing you for nine tablets for a year. Little things like that, but it's great. I mean,
so there's issues just communication. They're overcharging, or is that like a minimum amount of tablets you need to have? Or is
it
like
I mean, it's hard to change your invoices and so on. I wish they had better communication,
okay,
and they will make decisions quicker. But other than that, I mean, we love it. Seven shifts. We use seven shifts for scheduling.
Yeah. Right. So they've actually evolved a lot over the past year and a half since I've been on the show. I want to say.
Yeah, I've heard.
Are you still using them the same capacity you were a year and a half ago, or has that changed?
We're probably adding some more, but yeah.
Wilson, are you in charge of this stuff? He keeps on looking over his shoulder.
Wilson, it's...
Don't be shy. You can walk up here.
He's a tech guy. He knows he knows Toast better than Toast.
What are your thoughts on Toast, Wilson? Toast, you want
to
get
Toast calls him to fix things.
Get up here.
Come, Wilson. Yeah.
You can't hear in the headset, but get close to that mic for me.
Controversial. What do you think about Toast?
It's simple. You can work everything on the back end. I know that some POSs you have to call and wait for them to make changes for you. When this one, you can operate a whole menu or make changes for the restaurant on your phone. Things that would take days to fix with other POSs, you could do it in seconds. You know, once you get the hang of it.
So like the user interface, just the being able to engage with it and figure it out as far as like the user experience.
It's just the simplest thing out there, you know. It's hard to explain. You just have to do it yourself sometimes and, you know, understand it. But I mean.
I think that's the answer to most things. Like everything at first is super scary because you don't know what the hell you're doing. And then you figure it out and you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And then there's the next row back and you're like, oh, shit. Then you figure it out and you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. But it sounds like Toast is intuitive and like in terms of like it's not a heavy or a big mountain to get over. You can figure the little things out.
So before doing restaurants, I did construction. And then one day Damien was like, here, figure this out. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll figure it out.
So what about seven shifts? Are you in charge of... playing with that too?
Yeah, I do the integrations for most of the things. For seven shifts, when I first did it, it was night and day. I remember me and Miguel used to do schedules on paper, and then we would text everybody their schedule. But now, like when we saw seven shifts, you know, you could just do it all at once. You could see it. People who work together can see their schedules, who's working with who. So it makes everything very easy.
Love it. Anything else you want to share in terms of tech in the restaurant?
No, right now.
Thanks, Wilson. I appreciate you stepping up. What else do you have on your list there? Your list there, Damien.
I have a few more here. This is a fun one. Placer AI.
Placer AI.
So it's like a real estate. You know, you can find a lot of things and demographics and population and so on. It's very, very expensive.
I think I've heard that before mentioned on the show. That sounds familiar.
Placer AI, yes.
So what does it do for you?
You can look up restaurant chains and see which one performs the best. You can look up any address and see how many visitors they have per month, per year, up to 2017. So you can go back in time. You can see a lot of data. It's very expensive.
I've heard that.
And very negotiable.
So what lever or like what kind of wiggle room do you have to negotiate? What advice do you have in negotiating?
Well, everything here is negotiable. I think we have deals with most of these companies. I will also advise that everything with Uber Eats and DoorDash is extremely negotiable.
Give us some advice on how to negotiate with some of these platforms.
You make them fight one versus the other. You start some beef and you hey, go fight. And you start bouncing prices back and forth. And you see how low they'll go and then you take a deal. A lot of these things are very negotiable. Placer AI is great. It's actually too much information. It will blow your brain out.
You're a numbers guy. What's the most valuable information that they provide?
Okay, so let's say I want to put a company I love, Cava, right? I love their story. It's amazing. According to Placer AI, it says that there's 15 Cavas in Georgia. It will rank them from number one to number 15 in the state, and how many visitors it has per month. So would I want to put one of my locations next to the number one Cava? We'll look at it, you know. Things like that. I mean, you can put every taco chain and see.
So success leaves a trail. You can use this platform to look at what the most successful people are doing and find out which of their locations are doing the best.
Yes. If you're a data nerd like I am, then yes, it will make sense to spend the money and do that.
It's kind of like the Lowe's approach.
Yeah.
They went... They let Home Depot spend all the money doing the market research and then just opened right next to them.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Then you have a Margin Edge that we use. That's for uploading invoices and inventory counts, and it shows you recipes and so on. Then we use MailChimp if we want to send emails or text people. And then my favorite by far is Google Sheets. I make a sheet for everything in my life.
I heard you're a freak in the sheets.
I am, yes. Everything in my life has a Google Sheet for just about everything. I probably make one every day. So that's my favorite.
Nice.
And there's probably more tech that we use, but those are some of the ones, the companies that we work with and we would recommend.
So Margin Edge is a sponsor. Let's give them some love. Go deeper there.
Margin Edge, I don't use it myself every day, but everybody seems to love it.
What do they say? Why do they love it?
Because they're a sponsor. No, just kidding.
Wilson, no, get up on this.
Wilson, come back. So Margin Edge, yeah. I mean, we use it every day to upload invoices. At this point, we couldn't really operate and have... we do like a weekly P&L. Pretty much, and we're fighting with managers every day. Hey, put your invoice on Margin Edge. That is the number one thing that we use for inventory tracking and prices when they go up and down. I was trying to, the other day I logged in, and within 90 seconds, I pulled up a report of how many tortillas we buy every month. And I don't even use it. So I mean, you can see a lot of data. It is very, very useful when it comes to tracking your goods.
Got it. Have you ever checked out like an enterprise solution? Is that something that's on your, as you scale, do you think you're going to need to change your tech stack?
I think we'll just keep adding, and whatever works, we'll keep, and whatever doesn't work, we'll move on. But we love tech. So whatever's new and whatever's cool, we'll try it.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. So we unpackaged tech. I feel like we did a good job there. We gave some sponsor love. We opened the door for potential new sponsors. Thank you very much. And marketing. So when I last spoke to you, you said Instagram is number one. Is that still the case?
Yes. Miguel loves handling a lot of the marketing stuff. But yeah, social media, Instagram is number one. Collaborations with foodies, and we spent a lot on marketing. 2% of all of our revenue goes into marketing. So whatever we make, 2% goes into a different bank account, and we just light it up on fire.
Do you use profit first, like cash flow management principles?
No.
So, but you do use checking accounts to allocate cash.
Oh, we have like 43 accounts. Yeah.
Where'd you learn that?
We spend a lot of money, everything that comes in, right? As an insurance policy to ourselves, spending so much money so quickly, basically everything that comes in, we have separate accounts for Uber. So all of our Uber money goes into a separate account.
Okay. So it's cash flow management. You're basically using the envelope system, but with checking accounts.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So going back to that Uber account, we have each restaurant has his main account and then the Uber Eats account, right? All the Uber money goes into that account. And then whenever we're a little bit tight on money, we turn around and go to the other bank account in a different bank, and we find extra money. So we're never really, really too bad. But yeah, we are very tight. And I will also recommend, it has worked amazing for us, find a small bank that you can work with. We work with like the smallest bank in Georgia, and I guess we're a big client for them. And you get a good treatment, and you know, you can talk to anybody in the bank through text messages. So I guess that could be another option for a lot of people. I know if you call we do have bank accounts with Bank of America, but if you call, it's going to take you an hour or two.
Yeah, and if you're using a lot of different checking accounts too, some banks will charge you to open a new account, or they'll have like a minimum amount, and that's negotiable for the most part too.
Yeah.
So is that something you've run into?
We went with our first bank that was recommended, and it was a small bank, and it has been nothing but love.
Give them some love.
Southern First.
Okay.
This guy's Southern First. I mean, have him here.
Southern First. Pineapple.
Pineapple.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it. Great. So.
Do you want to talk about marketing?
I mean, I can chime in. Yeah, a little bit.
You said 2% of everything goes towards marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you sell. For us, whatever we sell at the end of the month, we take 2% of all the revenue and it goes into a separate bank account, and then we just burn it.
Like $36,000 a year.
No. So let's say this month we sell 2 million, right? 2 point something. We're going to take $40,000 and put it in a bank account.
Okay.
Just for this month. And then we're going to say, okay, now we got 40 grand. How much is going to Google? How much is going to Facebook? And how much is going to Foodies? And let's just light it up on fire.
Okay. So like, how would you, so if it's approximately 40,000 a month, 2% of sales.
Yeah. Right now we're selling two and a half million a month. So we're going to have anywhere from 40 to 50K a month.
So how do you allocate that within those, like how does it get diced up? How much of it is going to Facebook ads? How much of it is going to influencers?
Depending on the price of influencers and depending how much time we have to deal with all the influencer campaigns, right? Depending on what the return feels like on Google, some money goes there. Most of the money is going to go to Facebook Meta ads, Instagram ads. Right now, we're having like 750K impressions a month. Per month that we're having impressions on. So it's a big number. And then we deal with foodies, and Miguel does most of the foodie stuff. It is time consuming. We have done events with 20, 30 foodies where we're bringing all the foodies in town that want to do a free collaboration, and we throw a party for them, and they all post. And we have a host that we pay that can handle all of it, and then we do the rest of the work. And then you have your top foodies. And some of the foodies, how much are some of the foodies? $1,000, $1,500?
Yeah, about $1,000, $2,000. You know,
what do you get for that?
I mean, you're getting organic engagement. You know, because I mean, as
is it organic if you're they're paying $1,000?
It's their audience. I mean, yeah. Sometimes you pay somebody $1,000 and they post a video and you get 150,000 views.
Yeah.
That is two stadiums packed to the ceiling watching a video for $1,000. It is worth it.
And then you're saving time as well. I mean, content creation. I mean, you're creating content. Right. Yeah. So it's time consuming, you know, so you get to hand off that responsibility to somebody else. You're putting money in their pocket.
How much time would you say they put into promoting you?
And to promote, I mean, when they come in, they shoot content. They're there for about an hour, 2 hours, you know, and they make a cool reel. You know, right now, if you're not making reels on Instagram, then you're going the wrong route in marketing. So, I mean, I see restaurants sometimes that post a picture and I'm like, wow, that's very sad. Why would you do that? You're going to get 4 likes.
Yeah.
So, you know, the impact of a reel also is going to be based on, you know, what you attach it to.
For example, trending audio. You know, the shelf life of anything that's trending, anything that goes viral, nowadays it lives for hours. I'll give an example. Super Bowl Sunday. We knew that something was going to happen Super Bowl Sunday. So, you know, we had the whole team, the whole content team, looking at the Super Bowl to see what was going to happen. And sure enough, it was a halftime show. It was Alicia Keys and Usher. And within a few minutes after the halftime show, there was memes that were popping up. So we just got a picture of one of our restaurants. It was a Chamblee location. And we posted a picture of Usher and Alicia Keys. And that post got so much engagement right after the Super Bowl that engagement would not have been felt 2 or 3 days after. So, wow. So understanding what's going on with marketing is very important. So I'm not saying you have to make memes. You just got to understand that, hey, this is popping right now. So we are always sharing information amongst each other, you know? So it's a mandate. If you work for Real Tacos, doesn't matter whether you're a busser, whether you're working up in the office, you gotta share content with us, because the idea that you have might be the next thing that changes this business. You know, I'll give an example. We have this taco feast that we just came out with, and it's a bunch of meat just on a platter. Wilson, I think we said his name like 50 times now, but
he's still here.
Wait, yeah. He shared it with you. He said, "Hey, I think this is going to go viral." And then sure enough, we tried it, right? And the taco platter. I think he showed us that as well. So it's a collaboration between everybody, right?
And I love that idea of bringing everybody in, and it's really opening up. It's like a battery, right? Your brand is a battery. And when you connect your battery to a bunch of other batteries, you have more potential energy. You have more, like, there's more potential for creativity there.
We're a cyber truck.
Don't isolate your brain, your battery. Connect your battery. Tap into all that energy.
100%.
Yeah, I think 100%. Restaurant owners are afraid of marketing and marketing budgets. And when you look at marketing budgets, I look at it as a cost of manufacturing, right? Once you market and you spend money on marketing, your sales go up, and which means now your labor goes down just because there's more productivity, because there's more product being sold. Your cost of occupancy, rent, and so on goes down just because there's more sales. Once you add a marketing budget, every other number drops. But people are very, especially the old school mentality, they're very, very scared of marketing. They're so scared that we are conservative with our own marketing, because it's not the standard in the industry of going, you know, a small little company in Atlanta spending 40, 50 grand a month in marketing. That sounds crazy. And I think we're making a mistake. I think we should be spending 100 grand a month in marketing. I think we should double up. And we'll think about it, because I think it's undervalued. I mean, every dollar you put in marketing, you save it somewhere else because you sell more. It's a cost of manufacturing.
I mean, your major corporations put up to 40%, close to 50% of total revenue into marketing.
Yeah, some of the big ones, yeah. But local restaurant groups, they don't.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. We have a marketing company. And when we tell clients, you know, what's their marketing budget, they're like, oh, $500 a month.
Yeah, what's going on with your marketing company? Is that still kicking, or is it just strictly your own clients? No, are you your own client?
Right, we started as our own client, and we hired a kid who had a potential. It turned out to be amazing. He has a team of over 40 people now. A lot of people overseas.
So you own the company he works for you, or is he a partner?
No, he's partners with me and Miguel.
Okay.
And it was just like a side thing, and the kid was amazing, so it took off. And now we have a lot of clients all over the state. The way it works is somebody, you know, you start posting your own content, and then you get very busy as a restaurant owner and you stop posting. But then you realize, posting was going good and the marketing was good. I just can't do it anymore. And we offer a service. Look, for 1% of your revenue, we'll do the marketing for you. And most restaurants that we work with do, you know, $200K, $250K, $300K a month. So it's $2,000 to $3,000 a month per location. And it works out great because they don't have to do the work. We do all the content and editing and website and anything technology for them.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because something that we've been talking a lot on, I think that the role of marketer, like digital marketer, is going to be like, you see a lot of like chef front of house hosts. Chefs, like, I think the new digital marketer is the new front of house host. As the front of house gets less hands-on and more like fast casual pickup, or like, you know, like more counter service, like, you're more of that front of house becomes more digital, You really, the new front of house is the first impression. The digital is the first impression.
Yes.
And you need that person who's a partner who is just present always on yes. social media. It's I like, think.
How do you have a restaurant and 50 people work there and not one of them is full-time social media?
Right. It's so I actually, like a pop-up, right? I just recently interviewed a pop-up. Amazing chef, well-known in the Seacoast area, Matt Berry. He had a fine dining pop-up called Dahlia, and they spun off another pop-up, which is a pizza pop-up. And his first business partners in his business are two marketers. He does pop-ups, he makes pizza, and he has, and especially as a pop-up, you need that digital presence because you don't have the storefront. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, marketing, I think it's, even if you're older restaurant owner, find someone in your team who knows and loves social media and pay him a few bucks a month.
If you're listening to this and you love marketing and you want to travel the country and interview successful restaurateurs, hit me up because I need help marketing. I'm just going to put it out there. You know, the last time I did this, I said I needed a community manager. Callan Miola answered the call.
Great.
And she is fucking killing it. I need to start doing this more often because, like, I find whenever I ask for help and I just put it out there, people respond. So if you believe in this mission and you want to help Restaurant Unstoppable and you love marketing, I'm traveling the country. I need a network of marketers. Hit me up, eric@restaurantunstoppable.com, because I do not like marketing. I'm not going to lie.
It works.
It's important. I call it a necessary evil. I try to like stab holes in it whenever I can to see if I can make it sink. I just can't. I don't want to accept it, but it's so necessary.
It is.
Anyway, I feel like I'm crying like a little baby right now.
We're fine. So what else we got going on in the industry?
I mean, what do you guys want to talk about? What about the future? Let's wrap it up. Start talking about the future. Yes. Where are you guys headed? Where's the industry headed? What do we need to do? How can we go into the industry? Into the future intentional.
Okay. What will somebody who goes out to eat or somebody who goes to a restaurant, what are they going to want in 10 years? What do you think?
I think that we're moving into the transformation economy and people want to be better versions of themselves. Is that too deep?
Yes.
Sorry.
When you go to a restaurant, what do you really want? Is it
experience?
Right. Experience. What else? Good food.
Convenience.
Time. Yeah.
Efficiency. Relationships.
Yeah. Great service. Great ingredients.
I don't think.
That's not going to change.
Right.
So I think if we focus on that, and 10 years from now, are you going to want to pay more, or are you going to want a good value?
I hope that the future is a little more intentional with value, and the conscious capitalism is on the rise, where people will choose to give more of their money to the restaurant industry. That's what I hope. But do you think that's the case or not?
I think people are going to want decent prices and great food and quick, as you said, and great service. I don't think those things are going to change. And I think we should focus on that. It'll be hard to, unless we get another pandemic, it's not going to happen. I think the industry, it's going to be the same. People are going to want the same things 10 years from now. Whereas in other industries, podcasting wasn't a thing 15 years ago.
Right.
Right? Audiobooks were not a thing, before Audible. So a lot of industries, they change quickly and new things come in. But I think when it comes to eating, people are really going to want good food, quick, good service, they're gonna, and a good value. That's what we're going to focus on. And other than that, our vision for our company is how can we get to $100 million without having debt and $100 million a year in revenue and making a lot of opportunity for our chefs and our managers and directors and general partners and so on. Without it being too hard, without having to catch a flight every, three times a week, and how can we make it fun? We talk about the taco rally. One day we're going to do the taco rally. We're all going to have exotic cars and race cars, and we're going to go to Nashville and then go to Charlotte, then come back and then go to Florida, all as a team. We just want to have fun. How can we make money selling a great product, creating an opportunity, and having fun? That's the only thing we care about because we are obsessed with this business. Like, we are mentally just obsessed with this. And everybody who works here is as well. So why not all do it all together have a lot of fun. So far, it's been so much fun. There's nothing I want to do other than this. I don't care. You can tell me I got front row seats to an NBA game. I don't care, because I can go downstairs to the restaurant and it's more fun.
Yeah.
So why would I do something else?
Do you believe in this statement? In order to exist in the future, you're going to have to learn how to do more with less.
In order to exist in the future, do more with less. What would that mean?
You're going to have to learn to lean on more technology and automation and basically less on people, because the cost of labor going up, the cost of goods going up, you have to go basically just be more efficient.
Yeah, you have to be more efficient. That's why seven shifts, we can do 10 schedules and through an app, and we don't have to have 10 people creating schedules on paper and sending it out as it would have happened, you know, four decades ago.
Are you going to be strict, strictly focusing on the in-store experience, or would you be willing to, say, create like a ghost kitchen where you do pickup and delivery only?
No.
Or just delivery only for like throughput?
No, delivery is good. I mean, we do a high volume on delivery, we are now focusing a lot on takeout packaging. You know, if takeout is a big percentage, I think we should focus a lot on packaging. But no, the experience of the customer will be number one. So, you know, they're going to come back again. And
what about your website? Has that updated? Because you guys were really proud of your website the last time I was here.
Yeah, we update it often. Yeah, it gets better.
You're still designing your own website?
Yes, we do. We do our own website through our own company, Resto Experience, who does the marketing and the websites.
Got it.
Yeah.
Do you think the digital world is going to change in terms of your experience with the consumer?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I'm not sure what's coming on the digital end, but yeah, it is changing now. I mean, online ordering is a big percentage of our sales, and that wasn't there before.
Right. So do you think that's something you're going to be able to manage in-house, or you're going to outsource eventually?
I don't know if we're going to get into e-commerce. Unless we do it for catering. We've been thinking about doing e-commerce for catering, but... you know, I think our main focus is going to be growing the restaurant company, and then we're going to use other tools that are out there in the market already. I think once you start focusing too much, a lot of operators, they focus so much on like creating something or creating a new distribution for this or for that. When we you can just open up another restaurant if you already have, you know, a chain. And with the extra money, you can hire every other company that you need as far as technology or so on. That's kind of where we're leaning right now. And that's today. Maybe 5 years from now, it'll be a different discussion. But right now, the only thing that matters is opening up more real tacos.
Got it. Miguel, future thoughts. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm with Damien. I mean, 100%. Focusing on the customer experience. But more than anything else, I mean, I think a good company is made up of happy people, right? And just... You know, when you think about the customer experience, then I think that your team also has to have a good experience. They have to have a healthy working environment. And the only way you do that is by listening to people. You know, right now we're listening to a lot of the bottlenecks that we're having, you know, and, you know, we're hopefully in the future going to be rolling out benefit programs, which is something that's very important to people just in general. So these are just little examples of numerous things that we're going to implement, you know, as we grow. But I think that in order to focus on, you know, creating a healthy company and a longstanding company and a company that's going to keep attracting customers, you got to think from, you know, from both users, right? Okay, who works with us, who helps us with the day-to-day operations, and but also who puts money in our pocket, and that's the customer.
Yeah.
And then everything in between, I think that it'll just kind of fix itself.
I can get by on that. So what is one thing about your business, a value, a process, a system that's uncommon and makes you truly unstoppable?
Growth. Our focus is growth, which creates opportunity, which attracts amazing individuals, and allows us to try new things. Every time we open a new location, we try something new. Mm-hmm. And if that, it's a good idea and it takes off, we go back and replicate it in old locations.
Can you grow too much?
Yes, for sure.
Where is that point for you?
We're going to push the boundaries and see how far we can take that. As long as we're out of debt, I'm not afraid.
Got it. You were going to say something else?
No.
Okay. So the mission statement is to change the world by inspiring, empowering, and transforming the industry. So how have you both personally transformed in the past few years? Where are you today versus when you were before you guys started doing this?
I think we're more focused, a little bit more mature, and we are learning to delegate our time better day by day. We're still amateurs at this, but we are learning that we should delegate, obviously, as we grow. And we understand that we are not very good at this. We were just lucky that this concept took off and that amazing people are willing to believe in our vision. And I just want to say for everybody listening, because a lot of our team is listening, because half of our team listens to your podcast.
Thank you for spreading
I mean, last time you came, you walked into the restaurant. Oh. Nobody knew that you were coming. And you walked into one of our restaurants. And people are like, Eric, Eric. So our team loves you.
Thanks for the love. Yes. I love you guys too.
I just want to say to our team, yeah, we love you guys. We're going to continue to create opportunity. We will 100% have your back. We are, as we say, we have the best taco team. These guys are warriors. We're going into war every single day. We are going to win. Yeah, we're going to reach our next goals, which would be developing our project through the Southeast. And we're going to continue to create opportunity. And then for you, we have a gift as well. I would love, because what you do is amazing and you inspire a lot of people. Not only that, you give so much information to other restaurant owners that are growing like ourselves. Like I said, I met with a bunch of guys a couple of months ago and half of them were in your podcast and I was able to listen to conversations that you had with them before I even talked to these guys, just to be more prepared. And, there's no way to pay you back for what you do for the industry, but we have something for you. A little something.
Wait.
Yes. What we want to do as Real Tacos, it's just a little something. We want to be a sponsor for just one episode.
Oh, man.
Because what you're doing right now is you're changing the game. I mean,
dude,
how much you put a lot of money into jumping into your truck. And I mean, you guys should see this. The truck is huge. And you have equipment all over it. And it's not, you know, a little something from us. But we want to be your sponsor for just one episode. And
thank
hopefully
so
other
much.
People pay it forward, because what you're doing is amazing for the industry.
I did not know this was going to happen. Do you want me to open this or do you want me to open it?
Yeah, you can open it. It's nothing crazy.
Thanks. Just check. Am I showing the camera?
Yeah, it's a little check.
$1,000. Jeez, guys, this is not necessary. Thank
you
so much.
No, it is necessary. Do these people know what you're doing? That you're driving across the country?
That means so much.
You're driving across the country recording episodes to give away free information about the restaurant industry.
Thank you.
And as we said when you came in 2 hours ago, you are the Joe Rogan of restaurants.
Dude, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's the ultimate compliment. And this is going to go so far. This is going to help me get to California. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Thank you. I can't say thank you enough. And we still have one more question for you.
Oh,
and Damien fielded this question the last time I was here.
Yeah, terrible.
It was the three things you do. So you ready for this? Do you know what's coming?
I know what's coming.
Okay, so if you got the news, you'd be leaving this world tomorrow. And all the memories of you, your work, and your restaurants were lost with your departure, with the exception of three pieces of wisdom that you could leave behind for the good of humanity and for your legacy. What would those three pieces of wisdom be? And I'm still like beside myself that you guys did this. Thank you so much, guys. That's so crazy.
Man, number one, something that I firmly believe in, and many people have heard this before, go big or go home. You know, when you realize that the amount of time that it takes to do something is the same amount of time that's going to consume you, whether it's small or big, you're just going to go big, you know? So just might as well just see what happens, right? Take that leap of faith, you know, trust in people that you normally wouldn't have not trusted.
So that's one.
That's one. Number two, do everything with intention. You know, just if you're not going to do it 100%, just don't do it.
Then three.
And number three, don't forget about the task at hand. You know, big picture thinking.
I love this, guys. Thank you so much for inviting me back here to do a follow-up. When's the next interview going to be?
Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Well, let's set a date. And I don't expect a check when I come the next time. Please don't do that. That would be...
We want to support what you're doing, man. It is incredible. And I don't think people that listen knows what you really go through to put this together. How many hours you drove?
for my last location, five hours.
5 hours for one episode.
Yeah. Well, you know, you guys are worth it.
No, but that's amazing, bro.
You guys are doing good work, and it's an honor to make an example of what you're doing, and I'm trying to find good people to make an example of. And I'm only as good as the people I get to sit across the table from. So you guys make what I do easy. Thank you so much for giving me a reason to drive the 5 hours. We gave you a chance before to share your contact information. You actually want to let you call out some people too. You called out Lewis, the Cuban restaurateur.
Yes, I can reach out to him.
Yeah, I just realized I forgot to follow up with him. But who else do you guys have in mind?
Miguel has been talking about somebody that he was trying to put together. Last time, Dobar.
Oh, Faris. Faris Karzar. Yeah.
He's coming back.
Yeah, so we're hoping that he has his cousin's wedding this weekend that he forgot about.
My favorite restaurant.
I probably shouldn't have told that out loud. He did not forget about your wedding cousin. He absolutely did not forget about
it. So if you can, maybe link up with Faris again, you know, by far, I think that this guy's, you know, he's a very good human being. Great. What he does is cool. You know, I can really resonate with what he's doing.
And you guys told me about Nico too.
So yeah. Nico Caritasis, you know, he's an OG in the business. You know, his family lineage here is well over 40 years and 45 years. Yeah. I think they started the first restaurant in 1979. So to be 45 years in the game, that's doing crazy. Something right.
Absolutely. And how can we connect? We want to throw out some Instagram handles, emails, websites.
My Instagram is Damian, DamianCEO. And that's what I use the most, I guess. Or my email, Damian@realtacos.com. And don't try to sell me shit. But if you guys want to connect, if you want to talk real estate and expansions and business plans and this, from our last episode, I've connected with a lot of people.
Do people try to sell you shit from the last episode?
No, but they try to sell me stuff every time I go to RFDC and they share my email.
Oh. Yeah, and my email is Miguel@RealTacos. And then my Instagram handle is @DJReal_ETL. I used to do music before I got into the restaurant business.
Awesome. And guys, I'll be back in 5 years. I want to, because in 5 years, if you're growing by how much every year?
Well, it slows down in percentage wise because you're bigger. But yeah, in 5 years, we should be at our goal of 100 mil a year, which is the next step. And then after that, Taco Team, I promise you, after that, we're going to sit down and look at the secondary version 2 of the goal, what's coming next. But we will not fail. And we have the best taco team in the world. You guys are taco mercenaries, and we love you guys.
Awesome. And this is why I say thank you guys so much. There is no questioning. You are unstoppable.
Yeah.
Let's go. Cheers. There's another episode wrapped up here at Restaurant Unstoppable. Special thanks to our guests today, Damian Otero and Miguel Hernandez. And man, I'm so proud of these guys. It's crazy to, you know, watch their growth from the sidelines and to know that I might have just had a little bit of an influence on their success as listeners of the show. It means a lot to see people benefiting from your hard work, and the fact that they're so open and willing to share how much Restaurant Unstoppable has had an influence on their success is just so heartwarming. And I'm so excited to see you guys scale beyond 8 locations, and I can't wait to get you back on the show in another 2 or 3 years when you're at 28 locations. It's going to be crazy. And just thank you guys so much for your support. This is a really great conversation with you today. And if you're enjoying this podcast and you want more content just like this, we need your support. Honestly, the best way to support this podcast right now is to join our community and get involved. And for $10 a month, you can have access to ad-free content, and you can get a tool to search through our backlog by city, by state, by restaurant type, by how many restaurants the guest has, by topic, culture, technology, marketing, whatever it is. If you want to get more intentional with your time, then please join the first tier of our community, which is the content library. And then if you want to join us live for our events, we're going to be hosting workshops, lectures, Q&As, dramatic demonstrations. You're literally going to be able to meet the leaders in this generation that we're finding through word of mouth. And it's you are the average of those you surround yourself with. And with Restaurant Unstoppable Network, you can choose to surround yourself with the best. So for $47 a month, you can join us for all of our live events. We have some live events coming up. Actually, today we have a live event, a Q&A with the
president and CEO of Lombardo Hospitality, David Lombardo, who's an expert in special events and catering. And then next month on the 15th of May at 1 p.m. Eastern, we have Irene Lee joining us to discuss open book management. That's going to be a great workshop. I'm looking forward to that one. So many cool things happening. Right now, as you're listening to this, I am in the middle of Mississippi, sitting in a goat farm, getting ready to head out west to Arizona. I think I'm going to be driving through New Orleans and Texas and New Mexico. So if you are listening to this and you want to give me a crash pad, please email me, eric@restaurantstoppable.com. Always looking for a safe place to park overnight. And then the plan is to hang out in Arizona, Phoenix, for at least a couple weeks. And then I think the next stop will be Las Vegas. And then I think after that, we're headed to Southern California. And who knows where this journey will take us next. But a lot of cool things are happening here at Restaurant Unstoppable, and I'm loving the road. 2 weeks as of today, I've been on the road, and life is amazing. So I think that's it. I can't say goodbye without saying thank you to the people who helped make this show possible. Thank you to Jared Parisi for your copyright, for your editing, and so much more. Slowly becoming a co-producer of Restaurant Unstoppable. And then Callan Miola, who's been killing it in the background. With our work in the community, really organizing all these events and reaching out to members. And we're here to serve. And she's doing an amazing job of that for sure. Thank you so much. That's it for today. Until next time, peace out.